Welcome back. Sunday's Father's Day helped remind us of the important role fathers make in the lives of their children, those children lucky enough to have or know their fathers. Joining us is local artist Kababi Bayok. I should explain that his name, Kababi, is an acronym for Creative Black Artist Battling Ignorance. In 2012, he started a very special undertaking called 365 Days with Dad. It was a daily Facebook project designed to literally paint a positive picture of black fathers interacting with their children. But I'll let him explain that. Kababi, what's the project all about?
So, yes, the project was intended to paint a painting every day showing the positive aspect of fathers being in their kids' lives, that we need to be there every day to make an impact. So I attempted to paint one every day.
That's a pretty heady ambition to do 365 paintings, because they're not stick drawings by any
means. No, they're not. They're very detailed.
Yeah. Well, why did you decide you wanted to do this?
I did it initially to take care of my own family, because that's my livelihood, being a painter. And also I wanted to choose a subject that was important and needed in order to make a statement and not just make it about myself. So to be twofold, heal myself as well as, you know, the community.
Why important and needed?
Because I think a lot of what's going on today in the communities has a lot to do with the breakdown family, and a big chunk of that are dads that aren't meeting up with their responsibility of being present in their kids' lives.
How did you find these people to paint?
Facebook. Most of the project has been done through social media, so it's been amazing all over the country and world.
And what did folks do? Send you pictures or something like that? Or did people pose in person?
Yeah. Well, all of it was done with pictures being emailed to me. I made the project very affordable, so a lot of people jumped on it, which was my intent, and they responded as I expected and more.
I should explain to our audience that we recorded this about an hour before they're actually hearing it.
Right.
And that you have with you in studio your son, Ajani. And the reason we're recording it is because you're being a good dad and doing what with Ajani today?
Today is our first day of Lego Robotics Camp out in Florissant. So I have to take him there at noon. So that was going to interfere with the time of the show.
Well, Johnny, what do you think about all of this, the paintings that your dad has done?
I think they're really good, and my dad's letting me help him with some of them. Like, for some of them, I paint the canvases black because that's how he starts, and tonight I'm going to help him with one of kids' reading books.
Does he show any artistic talent?
He does. He helps me quite, and he's quite of a builder himself.
Do you have a picture of yourself and Ajani?
I do. I actually took a picture of him and my other son, Barago, at their school. It was one of the earlier paintings in the series last year.
You still have a few to go. The ambition.
I still have 87.
87.
That's not 365. So.
Well, it will be.
I'm hoping to get done this summer. I can't wait.
Yeah. You're one of the few people I've met who has a first name as an acronym. Tell me about that.
Before I went to Gramlin in 1992, I used to label my artwork Sea Baby, and I didn't think that that was cool anymore once I got down there. So once I got down to Gramlin, I decided I was taking Swahili class and decided to drop the Y and add an I, and I said, well, I'm going to call myself Kababi, but I'd rather it mean something since I'm an artist and finding myself. So I came up with a meaning for each letter, and Kababi became my name.
And what do people think of that?
That's what they knew me on campus. You know, some people were shocked when we'd sit down in class and they'd say Clifford, you know, so because they got used to knowing me before they knew me in the classroom. So, yeah, it's been – people don't believe I had a different name. So.
Well, you've been carrying this one for a long time.
I
gather. What did you learn, Kababi, from this project, this not-yet-complete project?
That it is just as hard as actually being a father, if not harder, that there are a lot of people out there hurting, a lot of people out there that – are in loving families with their kids and their dads, and a lot of wives love their husbands. So I've learned all realms of emotion from this project.
Do you think that through this project that you helped in any way to keep families together?
It's funny you say that, because one of the most recent pieces I delivered to somebody, she asked me if I was done with the painting soon because it might help save their marriage. I don't know if it did or not, but, you know, she cried when I told her when I was done with the project, she couldn't, with her piece. So I think some people are trying to use it, you know, to show their, you know, affection towards their loved ones. So I hope so.
Can they only see them on Facebook, or do they actually get the painting at some point themselves?
Yeah, actually, you know, to the dismay of some art fanatics, I have shipped all the paintings to the people. You know, I still have a few left to ship. But as I complete them, I take pictures and hold them for a minute, and then I ship them out, yeah.
What are some of the other kinds of stories that you've heard from the people you've painted?
Oh, some ones that were touching. I had a woman that called in. She emailed me. She didn't even want a painting. She just felt like emailing me and telling me that her daughter had been rejected by her father and his grandmother because the child was very light-skinned and the dad was very dark-skinned. So they just, even with the paternity test, couldn't believe that it was her child. So I've had that. I've had guys who ordered paintings, and then days later their dad passed away. And I mean, I've had some hard emotional stories to go through this past series. Yeah.
I think we have an opportunity for our listeners to see some of your paintings on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. So they're very striking
and
very nicely done. And folks want to take a look at what we're talking about, sdlpublicradio.org. Do you think, Kababi, that this project made you a better father?
I think so. It keeps the president home. It reminds me that there are little moments that matter, you know, because you're taking little snapshots, but people send in snapshots that make them remember something. So it makes me not take advantage of, you know, the time bringing my son here or my daughter needing to go to the grocery store with me, though I want to be by myself. It's like, you know, the moments aren't going to last forever, so you might as well just suck it up and give in, you know.
Well, you know that very well because you lost your father when you were 12, is that right?
I did. Yeah. I did.
What is the best advice your father ever gave you?
It's funny that I don't have many memories, but the two things I remember that I get on my own kids about, he always told me, only use 3 pieces of toilet paper. And he said he knew I was going to be out in the world and I'm probably going to be swearing around with my kids. He said, but don't ever swear or be disrespectful in front of your in front of adults or your elders. So I learned respect, and I learned, you know, to not take more than you need. So.
You know, and Johnny, what advice does your dad give you that you can remember? Good advice.
Uh-oh.
When I'm drawing and I say I mess up, sometimes he says that in art that you don't mess up, you could just turn it into something else.
Well, that is, you know, there are plenty of options in this life, aren't there?
Absolutely. But
you talk about respect. We asked our listeners to contact us through Facebook or Twitter to tell us the best advice they got from their fathers. I have one here from Liz, who is kind of in line with what you're talking about. She wrote, "Everyone knows to go the extra mile for a CEO or authority figure, but it is the janitors that will help you when you are locked out of the building or the secretary that will help you get access to the CEO. By respecting everyone you meet along the way, you will make friends with a range of people and you will be a better person for it." That's pretty much in sync with what your dad was telling you.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I really love that statement.
I should tell you, Kababi, that we also solicited from some of our friends, people who have been on this program, their thoughts about the best advice they got from their father. And one of those who responded was Mayor Francis Slay. And what he had to say is pretty much along the line of what we've just been talking about.
The best piece of advice my father gave me, he gave me both through words and through action. And what he taught me was to treat everyone with dignity and respect, regardless of race, religion, ethnicity, regardless of age, regardless of what kind of job a person might have, or even if he or she didn't have a job. Everyone is important, and everyone should be respected. I know my father really stressed in everything I did. I mean, he would see things like, you know, when you go to an event, everybody's wearing a formal event, they got the black ties on, women have the formal dresses, don't forget to acknowledge those who are working the event, the bartenders and the waiters and the waitresses. And this was before I was involved in politics. So, I mean, this is something he taught me from a very, very young age.
Well, there you go. That was Mayor Francis Slay, again, with the kind of advice that we've just been talking about. This can't be understated, can it, particularly in today's society?
Not at all.
We have so much emphasis on the haves and so little on the have-nots. Sometimes the folks who aren't quite as high on the social ladder get left out, don't
they? Absolutely, and they make up the meat of the community. Yeah.
We have another one now. This is this gentleman's been getting a lot of attention recently because he has written an opera, which has just opened in St. Louis, to very successful reviews so far. He's Terry Blanchard, a former guest on this program. He's a jazz trumpeter, a bandleader, composer, and the composer of Champion, the opera, which had its world premiere at Opera Theater St. Louis over the weekend. Champion is the true story of Emil Griffith, a welterweight world boxing champion and a gay man in the 1960s. He had a fateful fight with rival Benny Perrette.
I had a cousin who was playing the drums. We were in high school. When he set up the drum set in the house, my cousin sat at the drums and he started playing his James Brown beat. And my father came in. He said, "Hey, man, that's not the way you play the drums. Let me show you how to play the drums." And he sat down on the drums and he started playing 4-4 on the bass drum and 2-4 on the hi-hat, like an old swing beat. And I remember my cousin and myself, we just laughed and we thought that was some of the corniest stuff we ever heard. And my father said, "Oh, you guys don't want to learn anything." Well, fast forward to me being 19 years old, playing with Art Blakey in Strasbourg, France. And when it got to the bridge, what was the first thing that Art Blakey did? 4-4 on the bass drum, 2-4 on the hi-hat. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, "Really? Now I got to call my father up and apologize." But it was an experience that made me reflect on how much knowledge I was missing out on because I was too ignorant to take the time to sit down and really check out everything that he was trying to teach me at that moment in time.
That was Terrence Blanchard. I think I called him Terry in the introduction there. I apologize to Terrence for doing that, but I grew up with a friend whose name was Terry Blanchard. Okay. I think that was on automatic pilot when that came out. What do you think of what Mr. Blanchard had to say?
Oh, you know, it's funny because it's weird reminding myself I'm in the fatherhood position, but when you talk to your kids and they roll their eyes or, you know, they just kind of pass you off, kind of feel like that, you know, but you got to, you never know what they're going to take in. So you, even though they look like they don't want to hear what advice you have, you just got to give it, you know. And sometimes, you know, you learn from them too, so.
What do you think? Do you think you teach your father anything, Johnny?
Sometimes.
Can you name a for instance?
I taught my dad how to build some stuff with Legos.
Well, for an artist, that's an important lesson,
it is.
Right?
I have no skill at all with it, so I have to humble myself that they are not just simply snapped together, that it takes some skill, and he has it.
You know, one of the things that that I'm reminded of fairly often is the fact that we don't really have a manual for being a good parent. Oh, sure, there are books out there.
Right.
But we pretty much learned to parent from the way our parents were parents to us. And yet you were cut short on all of that. Do you feel that way, that you were cut short and that you missed something?
Oh, yeah, I feel lost all the time. I mean, my mom raised me and my sister, and she did great. But as far as, yeah, the fatherhood aspect of it, you know, I just think back to Boys in the Hood and Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. It was one of my examples that I always go to because I thought about him just in that role and Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show. It's just I draw on stuff like that to come up with ideas on what I think is the ideal way to perform the act. But a lot of times I just try to follow your heart. So.
In your paintings, in your portraits, what specifically were you looking for in each individual setting?
I really would have just wanted to show, because I got a lot of flack early on for moms not being in painting, but I wanted to really show just the dad being in the picture, you know, literally and figuratively, just that simple, just being there, being present.
You have so many different settings in your artwork. I mean, the kids are fishing. There are just all different kinds of situations. Were those the situations that were presented to you in the photographs, or did you kind of feel that part of it?
Yeah, some people email me stories and ideas. Some people say just do whatever. You know, but a lot of people sent specific photos that had strong memories for them, and they asked me to do my thing or do my version of that photo. So got kind of quite a mix.
Yeah, and trying to determine how to do that. And
it's
what
very
did you,
stressful. Yes.
How long did it take you to do an individual portrait?
At first, they took all day when I first started. One, I didn't even think about how much detail I was going to perform on each painting. So they started out really long. But then I got in a groove, and some amazingly, one day I did one in like 2.5 hours, then 4, then 6. So for the most part now, they're between 4 and 6 hours.
Boy, and they don't look rushed at all. I mean, they're very, if I may use the word, artfully done.
Right. Now, I had to really teach myself and keep reminding myself to just trust that I know what I'm doing and just stop thinking so much and just paint.
Well, when you're not doing this particular project, what are you painting? What's your specialty, if there is one?
I really just specialize in people, kids,
Portraits, pretty much?
I say narratives. I like doing just scenes or story. So right now I'm working on which Johnny's helped me on later, a painting for a principal who is leaving City Academy. They asked me to do a painting for her as a go-away gift, so I'll be working on that.
And what about your daughter? Does she show any inclination in this direction?
What would you say? What does Johnny enjoy doing? She's very colorful with her clothes.
Reading a lot.
She does read a lot, and she loves animals, so.
Well, the reading part of it is really important. And the animals as well, but reading is
they
really
all do,
important.
Yeah.
You a reader, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Well, speaking of reading and the arts in general, we have another guest to talk about the influence of her father on her. This time it's Emily Pulitzer, whose name is well known in this community, a patron of the arts. And here's what she had to say that she learned from her father.
My father was a very loving, warm person who had a big impact on the lives of many, many people. He was very supportive of whatever I wanted to do. He provided an extraordinary example of someone who had a great many interests and was incredibly generous with his time in giving back to the community. He allowed me to think that there were not things that a woman couldn't do, that I could do whatever, go in whatever direction I really wanted.
That's Emily Pulitzer. Do you hear anything so far in the voices of those people we've heard from, Kababi, that reflects the kind of emotion they're feeling about their fathers?
Oh, I think so. I think everybody, when they really sit down and think about it, they remember, or if they didn't realize it before, they realize how seriously impacted they are by their dad's advice and just everyday presence and love. So.
I hear a different tone, a more measured cadence to the things that they say. I think there is something a little bit different there. Let's a couple of other Facebook answers we have here. I'll read and get your reaction to them if you care to.
All right.
This one from Joe Ellen. The only way to achieve success is through dedication and hard work. What you think?
I mean, that's just basic right there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nobody ever wants to hear that, but you can keep reminding your kids, you know, you just got to keep on doing, even when you don't want to.
Ajana, are you a hard worker? He has to think about that.
Depends on what I'm doing.
In other words, you work hard at things you like doing or work hard at things you don't like doing?
I work kind of hard on stuff I don't like doing, and I work really hard on stuff I like doing.
Is that right? Is that, Kababi, does that fit?
We'll have to call him down. He'll be in his room for 6-7 hours easy doing Legos and not know where he is, but he's focused.
Okay. You know, he's a little too young for this one, but Megan wrote us via Facebook, be a defensive driver. That's the best advice she got. It's also very good advice.
Yeah, and we just got off the road yesterday, right?
Right.
Just drove back from Atlanta. So.
And as folks are listening to this, you'll be on the road again. Not taking a long trip, but you'll be on the road.
Absolutely.
Now, here's one that you and I can react to, I suspect. It's from Laura, who says her father told her, don't ever get old.
I mean, how do you do that?
Lots of luck.
Stay young. Young at heart.
Lots of luck with that one. But let's go back to the sound portion of some of these comments. And I'd like to bring in a friend of ours, a gentleman who was on the program just a couple of days ago, former Governor Bob Holden. He was in and he had this to say about the best advice he ever got from his father.
My dad was a farmer. His family had been farmers for generations. As most farmers are, they're not into long conversations. And I just watched my dad through life, how hard he worked, how much he believed and supported his family, and he lived and learned and taught by example. That's what I've tried to do with our children, is live the life that I believe in, to always work hard, be honest, be fair with people, treat people as you'd want to be treated yourself, and always be very candid and straightforward with people.
That's former Governor Bob Holden. And Kababi, you know, it occurs to me that idea of parenting by example maybe easier said than done, because there are a lot of times when we're setting an example and don't even realize it, and it may not be the best example.
That is true. Right. We are always being watched, always. And when you mentioned earlier when you talked about the cadence, I do remember, too, that a lot of dads were very strict. So there wasn't a lot of touching. So sometimes people do, you know, they are touched by the fact that their dad was there. But as far as being emotional, that didn't really come off that way, you know.
Do you think we've lost some of that to being strict with our kids?
I don't know if we lost that. It's weird. In some aspects, some people have relaxed, but then I think a lot of dads do touch more now. So it's a mix of both. So I think because some of us weren't used to being touched by our dads, we actually try to hug and kiss on them more now and try and do something a little different, those who, you know, who are doing what they're supposed to. So,
yeah. Johnny, how strict is your dad?
Not very strict.
I don't know.
Do you sometimes wish he were a little more so?
Not really.
Johnny is paying attention to what's going on. There's no question about that. Let me get a couple more of these Twitter answers in. This one here, it's not named. Never let other people know what bothers or frustrates you. Always pay attention to what bothers and frustrates others.
Hmm.
That's an interesting one. That's a little deeper than it might seem.
It's true. Yeah, you can always take cues. You know, people don't hide their emotions well or their reactions.
So many of these go back to how you treat people and the respect you have for other people, as we cited in the beginning. Lindsay, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Dad was right. It's so much better for your spirit to embrace the absurdity of life.
Amen. Yeah.
There are some words of wisdom here. Going back to these paintings of yours, 365 Days with Dad. What else jumps out at you about this? I mean, I'm sure you went into the project looking at it one way and probably came out of it looking at it somewhat differently. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I came into it thinking I was going to take charge, and it took charge of me. Yeah. It really became its own beast.
Do you have any sense that you might do something similar with mothers?
No. Not at all. People always send me messages asking if I'm going to do 365 Days with Mom. And I say there are many male or female artists out there that need, you know, some attention, you know, because this is a tough world. And I will gladly pass over some advice and have one of them take the reign. But it's tough.
Is Father's Day a real holiday? Should it be? I mean, Father's Day versus Mother's Day.
Right. No, it's definitely not the same at all. I think my other son is at home now drawing my gift for yesterday. So it's definitely taken a little lighter. I don't really worry about it too much, but, you know, let me miss my wife's day, and boy.
Right. Well, a lot of fathers take it very seriously, but a lot of them approach it very much the way that you do.
Absolutely.
Where can folks outside of Facebook see your work? Do you have some place where it's exhibited or some place people can go?
Well, I hang most of my work and my current pieces at me and my wife's bake shop, Sweet Art. That's pretty much my gallery, located in South City. Right now I have an exhibit in Children's Hospital near the cafeteria. It's been there since February, and it comes down soon. So there are about 12 to 15 pieces up there. So. Well, hopefully you don't have any reason to go to Children's Hospital, but if you are in the area, there are quite a few there that I think anybody can go in and see.
And give us an address for the bakery.
Yeah, Sweet Art is located 2203 South 39th Street in the Shaw neighborhood.
All right. Well, you know, I've enjoyed talking to you guys so much. What do you think of Johnny? Do you want to be a radio person when you grow up?
Maybe.
Remember, anything's possible.
That's right.
Right? Thank you so much, Johnny, for being with us today. And Kabavi, thank you, too. And best of luck with your project. I hope it's finished soon and that you enjoy a lot of success with your painting.
Thank you, sir.
Good to see you. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about a unique connection between Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, and the University of Havana in Cuba, and about the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and its role in training young Latino professionals in the St. Louis region. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.